Proverbs chapter 30. Now, this is a little bit different. It kind of transitions again in the book of Proverbs when we get to chapter number 30. Before, we've been kind of focusing on some verses that, for the most part, can stand alone and, you know, have their timeless truths that you don't have to build a lot of context to understand what's happening. There's some verses that are principles in Scripture that can stand alone. Here we have now in Proverbs chapter 30, it gets more into a dialogue again, or it kind of gets some more into a narrative where it's explaining some things. And there's going to be some questions in this text that I won't be able to answer because the Bible doesn't give us an answer to it. But I think there's a reason for that, and it'll stand out and be a help to us today, I believe. So look in Proverbs chapter 30. Look in verse number 1. We'll read down to verse number 6, even though the thought continues, but we'll keep here in this first section. It says this, "The words of Agar, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal." So he says this to these people. The words of Agar. He says this in verse number 2. "Surely, truly," he says, "surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up to heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth?" I love this. "What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Then in verse number 7, he starts to pray. We'll just read verse number 7, and then we'll pray and you can be seated. He says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." So he goes on, and he gives kind of an introduction and helps us to see what he's going to talk about, why he's going to talk about, and the importance of what he's going to say. Here's the title of the message tonight. You can't have a respectable life by living like a brute. Can't do it. You can't have a respectable life by living like a brute. And we'll explain what that means here in just a minute. Let's pray and ask the Lord one more time to bless his word. Heavenly Father, we gather not to consider the words of man or the ideas of man, Lord. We gather to consider the eternal, infallible, inspired word that you have given to us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would give it that attention and, Lord, we would treat it like such because, Lord, this is a life-changing book that can, Lord, help us to live a life that is fulfilling, Lord, to live a life that is purposeful and, Lord, that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight to even decide right now to give our undivided attention to your word and, Lord, to commit to be a doer of the word. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for your Bible. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for God's word. It seems like in just about every area of life, there are quote unquote experts, right? Experts. If you want to know how to do something, then all you got to do is look online and there'll be somebody on YouTube that claims to know how to do it, what to do, how you're supposed to do something. Whether it's, hey, I need to work on my car, then listen, an expert and somebody that knows what they're doing is beneficial. It's helpful. Like, because you want to take advice from somebody that knows what they're doing, right? You don't want to take advice from somebody to say, hey, I've never worked on a car before, but I know what your problem is and I know how to fix it. No, you want to take advice from somebody that's an expert, somebody that knows what they're talking about. If you want to learn a trade, if you want to learn how to be an electrician or a carpenter or a plumber or whatever it may be, if you want to learn a trade, listen, one of the best things you can do is learn from an expert. Learn from somebody that's done it before. Learn from somebody that succeeded. Not somebody that just knows about a lot of knowledge in their head, but somebody that knows how to do it. They have experts in the sports world, in the fitness world. You want to learn how to play a sport. Listen, you want to model somebody that knows how to play that sport, that knows how to coach. They're experts. Listen, they're experts in a lot of different areas of life. And we can learn a lot. We can read books from them. We can model their life. Listen, having an expert in learning from an expert is a good thing. It's wise. It's wise to learn from others that have done it before. They can teach you some tricks, teach you how to do it. And listen, I would advise that in a lot of areas to learn by example, to learn from other people's mistakes and other people's successes in certain areas of life, whether it's finances or auto mechanics or whatever it may be. But what about life? Just the everyday normal things of life. Listen, you don't want to get life advice from somebody whose life is messed up, right? You don't want that. You want to get life advice from somebody that's living life the right way. From somebody who's living life that is absent of all of the contention and all of the strife that is out there. That somebody that's life, it seems like, goes from one tragedy or one chaos or one problem to another. Listen, that's probably not the person to get your life advice from. But also there can be people that it looks like on the outside their life is put together, but on the inside there's turmoil. So you want to get life advice from somebody whose outside is right, but their outside is right because their inside is right. Because they lack the turmoil or the confusion of life. I've had a lot of people ask me about this little sheet thing that's over. Like, are we doing a funeral or what do we got going on here? Underneath there, to be honest, is the secret to a successful, happy, productive life. Underneath there is a thing that if we take what's there and we use it, listen, it'll make a difference in our life. It'll help us. It's the key. It's the secret to a successful in God's eyes life. It's a life that's respectable. Listen, when I say a life that's successful and respectable, I'm not talking about a life that has all the money in the bank account that you want. Later on, our man Agar, he even says this, just to give you a little hint. A little preview. Look at what he says here in his prayer. He says this. He says in verse number 8, look down verse number 9, I'm sorry. Oh no, verse number 8 it starts. He says, remove from me vanities and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. He says, listen, I don't need a whole bunch of money and I don't want to be poor. Give me what I need. See, living a respectable life doesn't mean you have a big bank account. Living a respectable life doesn't mean that you're poor in a monastery somewhere either. No, living a respectable life is a life that is possible for anybody in any income, in any age bracket. Listen, they can live a respectable life. Listen, but the problem is there's a lot of people that are living, I guess what we could say, a brutish life. A life like a brute. And we'll get into that here in just a minute. When it comes to the area of wisdom in this passage, apparently this man Agar knew what he was talking about. Apparently this man Agar was a respectable man. Look here at our passage. It says in verse number 1, the words of Agar, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. We're introduced to this man by the name of Agar. Who is Agar? Here's the truth. We just read it, and you know as much about Agar as I do. Because this is all the only place he's mentioned in the Bible. Okay, what about these guys, Ithiel and Ukal? Same thing. Only time they're mentioned in the Bible. We don't know about them. We don't know their details. Now, some have a lot of speculations on who they are. Some would say Agar is just another name for Solomon. And some would say that Ithiel or Ukal or maybe Solomon's sons or whatever. The truth is, anything that we try to come to is just speculation. Because the Bible doesn't say. What we can say is this. He was a wise person. Here's what we can say. Solomon, the human author of the Bible, he was the Bible would say, one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of this earth. Wise. He gave us so many wisdom in the book of Proverbs, 29 chapters of wisdom that we have. But it comes to the next to the last chapter in verse number 30. And here's what we have. Solomon, the author of the book of Proverbs, thought it well enough to say, let me tell you about a man by the name of Agar. Let me tell you about his wisdom. Let me tell you about some things that this man has said. Listen, we could say this, that from our passage and from the book of Proverbs of chapter number 30, we can read this, that Agar had a respectable life, that people looked to him with respect. People looked at him as a man that knew how to live life. And here's what we find. It's almost like if you could set this stage in your mind. Here's how I picture it. When I read the Bible, I try to put myself into it. I think it helps me to try to understand what's happening. And if you could imagine this, here is this man, Agar. And people know that he's wise. People know that what he says, listen, pay attention to it. Here's what we have. These two guys, Ithiel and Ucal, they come to Agar to learn his secret to life. Agar, what are you going to tell us? Listen, you know what you're talking about. Your life isn't a mess. Your life is honoring to God. You seem like the decisions that you make are the right decisions. The things that you do are right. You're not making all the mistakes that everybody else is making in life. How do we live? What do we do? Agar, you're so wise. Agar, you've got it put together. Man, and I can see sometimes people like that it's like, man, they have things put together. They know what they're doing. And listen, those are the right people to learn from. And here we have these men, Ithiel and Ucal, sitting down together with this man, Agar, and here's what he says. Agar, you're so smart. It's almost like you can hear him puffing him up. Agar, you're so smart. You know what to do. It's like your words are flawless. Your decisions are impeccable. You know how to live. Agar, what are you going to tell us? How are you going to tell us how to live? What do we need to know from your wisdom? Look at what he says. Verse number 2. He says, surely, truly. He says, let me be honest with you here. Let me make a true statement to you here. He says this, I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. We don't know a lot about him, but we do know this about him. We know this. He's truthful and honest about who he is. He says, listen, I want you to understand something. I'm brutish. I don't have it all figured out. Okay, when you think about somebody who is brutish, my mind goes to a guy like a football player, like a Derrick Henry, if you know football. Like, the guy's a beast. He's a brute. Like, he's not one of those guys that kind of makes you miss. He's not one of the guys that'll try to run around you. He's a guy that's just going to run through you. If you want to watch some highlights of some awesome stiff arms in football, go look at Derrick Henry, because the guy can just push his arm and guys like, boom, just fall down. It's awesome. He's like, you look at him, I'm like, man, that guy's a brute. But often sometimes when you think about a brute, you think about somebody who's maybe not all that intelligent. They're just a big brute. Honestly, part of the definition of the word is this, stupid. It's the definition of the word brute. Literally, it's like they it's not a word that I just want to throw around all the time, but that literally is part of the definition of the word, a brute. Somebody that's not all there. Somebody that doesn't have it figured out. But also I think of this sometimes, like some big animals, right? That's just like a brute. The idea of a brute is something that is more equated to, in the Bible, less than with a person, but more of with an animal. Something that is not human. Okay, you think of like a big elephant, right? This big brute, or a hippo, or even in our continent, like a bison, or maybe a grizzly bear, or a polar bear, or something big like that. You know what those animals do? Whatever they want to. Right. Because they're a brute. You're not going to take those animals and try to really make them do what they don't want to do. Now, people can train them and kind of give them incentives to do what they want to do. But listen, in all honesty, if you want to try to stop them with just the power of one man, it's not going to happen. Why? Because those things they're big, they're beasts, and they do what they want to. They do this. They do what's in their instinct. They do what they naturally want to do. They do what their desires are. They're a brute. And he says this, listen, I'm more brutish than any man. He's like, you think that I'm this sophisticated, put together man. He says, I want you to know this. I'm just a brute. I don't have everything figured out like you think I do. He says, I'm more brutish than any man. And he says this, I have not the understanding of a man. He says, there are things about man that I'm ignorant about. There's things about even my own life that I'm ignorant about. There are more things that I don't know than I do know. He's saying, he said, I'm ignorant. I don't have the understanding of a man. I don't understand everything that's inside of me and why I do the things that they do. I don't know why people do the things that they do. It's not like I have all this great philosophy and all these man's ideas inside of me that helps understand all this. He says, no, I don't have the understanding of man. He says, they neither learned I knowledge or wisdom. He's like, I don't have this great education. I don't have these lists of colleges that I've been to or philosophers that I've sat under. He's like, I don't have that. I don't have the education that other people have. I don't have the intellect that other people have. He's like, I'm not the smartest person in the world. He says that man, he does this. Here's what he's getting at. That listen, man doesn't have the answers to life in himself. He says, my life, you may be coming to me seeking advice from me, but he says, I want you to know something. It's not because I have this great intellect. It's not because I have this great wisdom innately that is of my own. He says, by nature, I'm a brute beast. By nature, I haven't learned anything. He's like, I haven't sat under people of man. That's not what's made me wise. That's not what has helped me. He says, the fact I don't know the things of life that other people know. Here's what we have to stop and think about here for just a minute. One of the reasons that Agur is so wise is because he understands that he doesn't know. He says, listen, it's not in me. The fact that he knows that he doesn't know everything makes him wise. It helps his wisdom. Listen, pride makes people brutish. Those people that think, hey, I know everything. I've got it figured out. Listen, if you get this, this is important. If you think you know everything, then you'll never learn anything. It's the truth. If you're the one that thinks, yeah, I got it figured out. I know everything. No, listen, everybody can learn something. And he says this, listen, I don't know everything. I don't have it figured out. I'm not the one that says, hey, you just come to me. You just come to me and I'll solve all of your problem. No, if you want to learn to have wisdom, then it starts with the spirit of Agur by learning to be humble enough to admit that you don't know everything. Here's what we find. He goes on to say this in the proverb. He says, look at verse number three. He says, I neither learned wisdom nor have I the knowledge of the holy. He says this, I don't know everything God knows. I don't know I don't have the insights that God has. I don't know the things that God knows. He's saying this, compared to God, I'm a brute beast. Compared to God, I'm just like a wild animal that's just out there doing their own thing. He's like, I don't have that knowledge that he has. But here's what we got to remember. Living life is not about knowing all the answers. It's not about a successful life is not a person that knows all the answers. No, it starts by asking the right questions. By having the right questions and asking those questions to the right person. Look at what he says in verse number four. I love this. He asks six questions here. And here's what's really happening. He says this. And picture this again. Picture these two guys sitting at the feet of Agur. And they're saying, why are you so wise? Why do you have such success? And he says, listen, I'm just a brute beast. I don't have the knowledge. There's so much that I don't know, so much that I don't understand. I don't have the knowledge that God has. I don't understand these things. But it's like he turns it on him and says, listen, I want you to think about something. I got some questions to ask you. As you want to learn some wisdom, if you really want to know where wisdom is, he says, let me ask you a few questions. And so Agur begins to then ask questions to Ithiel and Ucal. Look at what he says in verse number four. He says this, who hath ascended up to heaven, unto heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? He says, listen, who is it that's gone up to heaven and come back down? Who is that? Get this. What is he doing? He's trying to get them to think about, okay, where's the source of his wisdom? Where does it come from? Why is he so wise? Why is his life effective? Why is he living a life that is respectable? He says this. Stop and think about this. Who's gone up to heaven and come back down? Who has the power, he says this, to gather wind in his hand? You go out there tonight after church and try to grab some wind and put it in your hand, you're going to look like a crazy person. What is he doing? He's out there catching wind. Like, whoa, wait a minute. That's kind of weird. What is he doing? He's saying, who has gathered the wind in his hand? Who's put that together? I can tell you this, Job 38, Psalm 104, Psalm 40, it says this, it's God. God's the one that takes the wind in his hand. Things that we can't even conceive or even imagine that God holds the wind in the palm of his hand. He even says this in verse number four. Who controls the water? Who can take the water like it's a piece of his garment and just gather it up and scoop it up and hold that water like it's a garment? He said, who can do that? Who has that power? All I know is this. In the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, here's what we see. That Jesus does this. He merely speaks and what happens? The storm calms. In the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, and Jesus says this, peace be still, and the waters stop, the winds stop. He's saying this, who can do these things? Who can take those water and control that water? He goes this, who has set the universe in its place and gathers it together. Look in the middle of verse number 4. It says, who has established all the ends of the earth? Look from this part of the universe to that part of the universe. Who's responsible for it? Who put it together? Who not only made it, but who keeps it going? He says, stop and think about that for a minute. Then he goes on to say this, who is his name? What's his name? Who is it? He's like, tell me, Ithiel and Ucal, who can do those things? Who is that? But I love this. Look at this prophetic word. He says this. And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Who is it? Who's done that? We're going to tell you this. The only answer is God. God's done those things. His son's name, Jesus Christ. God's done those things. And Ithiel and Ucal are thinking, what in the world? The answer to these questions is God. Listen, God knows about this earth. He knows about everything from the north to the south, the east to the west. Listen, everything about this earth, God knows it because he created it. Everything in the universe, God knows it. Listen, you know God's the only one that knows everything there is to know about earth and everything there is to know about heaven? God knows it. There is nothing that is hid from God. He says, who made it all? Who ascended up to heaven? Who's come down? Who's been up there? Who's been down here? The only one that we can say is God himself. The only one that we can say is Jesus Christ himself. He's the only one that's gone up and come down and knows how everything works in the eternal world and in the temporal world, in the physical world and in the spiritual world. Only God's the one that knows everything about those things. He says, listen, if you want to know wisdom, if you want to know where it comes from, consider God. Think about who he is. Think about what he's done. It is only God that knows how life works and the principles of life and how to live it. He says, that's where the wisdom comes from. That's where the respectable life comes from. It is God. It is his son, Jesus. Those are the only two. That's the only thing that can make us ready and live in this life and make us ready for the life to come. God himself, his son, Jesus. Basically, Hagar is saying this. He's saying this, if I have anything of worth to say, if I have anything of wisdom to impart, it came from God. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from my intellect and my wisdom. It came from God. But here's what I love. It's awesome. See, it's not man's thinking that will keep us from making the mistakes of life. It's not what it is. He doesn't say, hey, I've got some secret wisdom that if you follow what I say, it's going to keep you from making mistakes. No, he doesn't say that. He says, look to God. Look to the one that's made everything. It's not God that's going to fix all the mistakes and make things right that we have messed up. That's not going to happen. It's only God. It's only God that's going to fix those things. It's not man. Man is not going to do it. God's the only one that can fix the things that man has messed up. The things that I've messed up in my life, I'm not going to be able to fix them. It's God. Here's what we find. It is God and his word that is sufficient to keep a brute from living like one. Because listen, every single one of us have the tendency that Hagar mentions, that we're brutes, that we don't have the mind of God naturally. We have the mind of man. We have the actions of man. We have the spirit of man. Look up here. He says this, listen, I can't think the way God thinks naturally. I need to have God. And he says this, that it's only God and his word that is sufficient to keep the brute from acting like a brute. Look at what he says in verse number 5. He says, here's what I want you to think of, guys. Ithiel, Ucal, if you're having trouble, if you're having issues, if you don't know how to live, he says this, look to God. And when you look to God, remember this, every word of God is pure. It's pure. It's without fault. It's clear. It's reliable. The idea of pure, it means it's not mixed. I remember one time going to PetSmart. They were having like this weird dog adoption thing. So they had dogs in crates everywhere out there. And they're trying to get you to buy a dog, or it's not buy a dog anymore. It's adopt a dog. And, you know, it's interesting how you're adopting a dog, but the dogs that are purebred cost more to adopt than the dogs that are just a mutt. Anyways, side note. But I remember seeing this dog. It was the weirdest dog I've ever seen. It had the body like a basset hound. You know, short, stubby legs. It's like black and white. A little body like a basset hound. But it had a head like a pit bulldog. I mean, it was the weirdest dog. You know, basset hounds, floppy ears, you know, kind of long nose. This dog had the head. I mean, it looked like somebody literally took a head off a pit bull and put it on a basset hound. It was the weirdest. It was like so ugly that it was kind of cute. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I want that dog. Why? Not because it's cool or not because it's pretty, but because it's just weird enough to be awesome. I want that dog. But here's, you know why it looks so weird? Because it was mixed. It wasn't a purebred dog. It was a mixed dog. See, when things get mixed, they end up kind of looking a little different than they were intended. And it says this, the Word of God, it's pure, unmixed. It doesn't have man's words in there, man's ideas. Listen, God's Word is pure. You can count on God's Word. There are not parts of the Bible that are good and parts of the Bible that are bad. There's not parts of God's Word that we're safe in adopting and parts of God's Word that we need to stay away from. No, it's clear. From Genesis to Revelation, it's unmixed. It's pure. The Bible, listen, will never lead us astray. The Bible will never lead us down a road that is going to cause us to be to have a life that is ruined or a life that is destroyed. No, God's Word will keep us pure. It'll keep you from being a brutish person. The Word of God will keep you from thinking like a brutish person. No, the Word of God is pure. You can trust it. You can count on it, he says. Remember that God's Word is pure. Do you know why? He's saying this. Guys, he's saying, listen. Do you know Agar, Ithiel, Ukel, you know why my life is pure? Because it's built on God's Word. You know my life is absent from the trouble that other people have? Why? Because I'm building my life on something that is pure. Not something that is mixed, that is contaminated. No, I'm building my life on God's Word. He also goes on to say this. Listening and applying God's Word will protect you. It'll be a protection to your life. He says this, every word of God is pure. It is a shield to them that trust in him. Listen, there's a lot of things in life that people look to as resources, as helps. But listen, the truth is the only thing that is going to unwaveringly, which means it's steady, it's sure. The only thing that's going to keep our life respectable consistently that we can count on day in and day out is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And listen, God's Word, he says this, it's pure. That we can take God's Word. These are some Bibles that we put together to hand out. Do you know why we need to hand these Bibles out to people? Why? Because people's life oftentimes reflect more of a brutish lifestyle than a respectable lifestyle. And the only thing that's going to help a brutish life is the Word of God. Why? Because it's pure. Because it's trustworthy. But he also says this. Look at what it says in the next part. He says this, that he is a shield. That God and his Word, it's a shield to those that put their trust in it. Look at what it says. Listen, God's Word is not a good luck charm. God's Word is not something, hey, I got a Bible in my house, so I'm good, I'm okay. No, we learned last Sunday in our Bible study that the key to the Bible and unlocking the truths of the Bible is to apply it, is to live it. He says this, look at verse number five. Every word of God is pure. He, God himself, look at this, I love this. You can't separate God from his Word. You can't do it. Look at what it says. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. Listen, it's connecting God and his Word. You can't separate the two. God is always going to be consistent to his Word. God is not speaking if it doesn't match his Word. Somebody said, well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm the exception. No, it's not God. Well, I know what the Bible says, but God spoke to me. No, God speaks to you through the Bible. And if what you're doing doesn't match the Bible, then you can rest assured it's not of God. He says this is a shield. Listen, there's a lot of people that are facing and falling to the attacks of Satan in their life. And God says this, you know what he is and what his Word is? It's a shield. Listen, when I live by this Word, it's like those darts that Satan is shooting at me. It's like those temptations that are flying at me. It's like those people that are seeking to defeat me. It's those thoughts that are troubling to me. Listen, when those things hit at me, listen, I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because I got the shield of God's Word that is protecting me. I got God himself. He says, this Word will be a shield. It will protect your life. Listen, this word will keep you from making brutish decisions. It'll keep you from living a life that is like just based off your natural instinct, off your natural thinking. Listen, that's what a brute animal does. That's what they do. He says this, what we need is God's Word because it is a protector. Listen, it is pure. It will protect you. It will help you. Listen, there's a lot of people that got their life into a mess, and if they just would have listened to God's Word, they would have avoided the problems of life. Listen, there are people that sit in church day after day after day, year after year, week after week. They sit in church all the time, and they fail to apply the Word, and their life gets into a mess, and they think, well, yeah, I've tried church before. Listen, just attending, just hearing is a whole lot different than living it. And he says this, it's going to be a help to us if we apply it. It's going to be a shield to us. Why? Because it's pure. It's going to help us. It's not going to lead us astray. It's going to protect us. It's going to help us make the right decisions. He says this, verse number six, be careful though. Be careful. Add thou not unto the words, unto his words. Don't do it. He says this, don't add unto it In other words, what is he saying? Don't change God's word. God's word is fine the way it is. God's word doesn't need us to correct it. God's word doesn't need us to explain it away. Listen, don't add unto the word. Don't try to make the word say more than it's supposed to say. Don't make it say less than it's supposed to say. Don't add unto it. Don't change it. Don't try to change God's word. It doesn't need me to explain it away. Listen, we have the Bible in the King James Version and we don't need to go seek another one. Listen, we don't need to go find another one. It's there. It's God's word. We can trust it. We can depend on it. We can rely upon it. Listen, we don't need to go add unto it. You say, well, wait a minute. Way over in the book of Revelation, it says this as well. Don't add to God's word. Don't take away from God's word. Listen, a lot of times we add to God's word in this way. Maybe we don't change it literally in the Bible or try to come up with another version, but a lot of times we try to add to it or we try to change it in this way. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm an exception to that. I know the Bible says that I need to tithe and be faithful to giving. I know the Bible says that, but I've got extenuating circumstances that are beyond that. You know what I'm doing? I'm adding to God's word. I'm saying that I have the exception to it because of this. Well, I know that God talks about that a physical relationship between a man and a woman should only be reserved for marriage, but listen, we're close enough. We're almost married. We're probably going to marry each other. I know that I'm an exception. No, you know what you're doing? You're adding to God's word. You're saying God said something and it's very clear. And what I need to do is I need to maybe add a little bit to it so that it's a little more acceptable in my life. So that it's a little more easy for me to maintain kind of an appearance of godliness. But really, I can kind of change the word and make it say what I want it to say and make it adapt it to the way that I want to. And maybe if I kind of change it a little bit and make it where it's a little bit easier for me to obey and not really be so hard-nosed on the Bible and the Word of God and those types of things. Listen, there are doctrines in Scripture that we can't waver on. There are ordinances in the Bible that we can't waver on. Why? Because it's not my word to change. It's not our word to change. It's not my doctrine. It's not my truth. It's the Word of God. It's history. Then he says, hey, be careful that you don't change it, because sometimes we change it because we think, well, I have a better idea. I have an exception to that. But here's what he says. Don't change it, because here's what will happen. Look what he says in verse number six. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, lest he shows you that you can't ignore God's word and avoid the consequences. Reproving, correcting. He says, and thou be found a liar. He says this, God is going to be true to his word. And when we try to change it and try to make it say what we want to, you know what's going to happen? Life is going to happen and it's going to show that God was right all along. That God was true all along, and really, I was a liar for thinking that I could change it and it not affect me, and it not bother me. You know, he's saying this, listen, we don't need to try to change it to try to make it more easy for us to obey. No, what we need to do is kind of push away the sinful pride of self-reliance and thinking that I can live life by my own. Because here's what he's saying, Agar is saying to these guys. He's saying, man, if you want to live a respectable life, then it starts with this, knowing that you need God in his word. Knowing that really by myself, I'm just brutish. Really by myself, I just have this natural thinking that is ungodly. Listen, here's what we got to remember. Because God's word is pure, because God's word is true, listen, we can trust it. We can trust it to guide us and to help us to live a life that's worth living. Here's what we need to do. When we find ourselves maybe in some brutish situations, when we find ourselves needing the wisdom of God and the truth of God, really what we need to do is not get our eyes on men. We need to get our eyes to heaven. Here's what he's trying to get them to see. You want to know how to live a respectable life on earth? Look to heaven. You want to know how to live a respectable life in this world? Then he says this, look to God and his word. Because that's going to keep your life respectable. If you ever watch any animal documentaries, you'll see this. They'll talk about a bird. They'll say, hey, here this bird that it'll migrate from way up north down south in the wintertime. And then it'll switch it and go up north. And they'll talk about lions that will go and attack gazelles, and they'll talk about these animals that will do all kinds of crazy, magnificent things. And you know what they're talking about? They'll talk about this. That's their nature. That's their instinct. They have an instinct to hunt. And they'll say, hey, if you're faced with a bear or with a wild animal, you know, a tiger, whatever, don't run because their instinct is to chase you. I'm telling you, that's going to be hard to do, right? Your natural response is to want to run. But he says, don't do that because that their instinct is to chase things. That's their instinct. And guess what they do? They do instinctually what God designed them to do. It's their instinct. It's their natural desires. That's what they do. See, but here's what he says. That's what a brute beast does. That's what an ignorant person does. They do this, just what their natural desire and tendencies tell them to do. Do you know why we need more Bibles in our homes and in our communities? Why? Because there's too many people that are living a brutish life. They're living a life that's just following their natural desires, their wants. What I want, that's what I go for. What I desire, that's what I want for. What makes me happy now, that's what I'm going for. What satisfies my pleasure or my appetite, that's what I'm going for. Listen, that is not the life of a wise person. That is not a respectable life. That's a brutish life. And he says this, the only way that Agar got from acting like a brute, because that's his nature. That's who he was. He says, listen, I'm more brutish than anybody around here. That's my natural desire. My desire is just want to do what I want to do. But here's what I learned, that if I stop and consider who God is, if I stop and consider what he has done, if I stop and consider his word and live my life accordingly, here's what can happen. A life that once was brutish and then be respectable. A life that once lived by its instinct and natural appetites and desires can then live a life of self-control. I would say this, of spirit control, because it's under the authority of God's word. Listen, there are people that live from one fix to the next, one high to the next, one ungodly sexual pleasure to the next, and they just live their life like a brute. You know what they need? They need God's word. But more than just God's word on their shelf, they need God's word in their life and in their heart. You know why sometimes I struggle with sin or with temptation? Is because I'm not necessarily thinking of my situation according to God's word, according to his revelation. What I need to do is lay aside my brutish tendencies and replace it with God's word. Replace it with who God is. It's then and only then that a brute can then live a respectable life. Listen, you can't live a respectable life by just living by your own sensual appetites and desires and your own worldly thinking. It's not going to be respectable. The only way to live a respectable life is to live it in obedience and in respect to God and his word. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.